When you don't have the cover on this? Did you ever, like, sit on it or?
I don't think so.
It changes so that it's like.
It just shapes to your ass, I would assume.
Yeah, yeah. It feels less contained.
Not just around it, but, you know, in the ass.
It fills in every crack up that's to a certain point. Yeah. Because it's like microfiber. It's a different consistency than the larger love sacks.
So it's not really bean bags.
Well, it's like real micro beans.
I feel like a cat now trying to mush it into the right shape. I'll just be doing this forever, though, because it's not really going to change that much.
Hey, everybody. We are Buddies in Space.
Hey, I'm S. Michael Smith, and this is...
M. Michael Carassi, and we are talking about the squatamen that Mike is squatting in.
Kneeling it.
Kneeling.
Not really squatting.
I really just wanted to say squatamen.
Yeah, squatting. I'm not squatting.
Paint a picture. Paint a picture for the audience.
Oh, well, sometime about 3 or 4 months ago, I had a little... injury.
Can we call it
overexertion?
Can we call it a groin sprain?
Yeah, sure. A groin sprain. Yeah. Pulled muscle in the place where guys don't like to have pulled muscles. Not happy. Not happy with it. It's a lot better. I can sit for some period of time, but it gets a little uncomfortable. I couldn't sit at all for like a couple of months.
Did you get a standing desk at work, or were you standing at random spaces?
I brought in my own laptop. So I have I bought a kneeling chair to try out. So that's at work, the one that I bought.
Okay.
So I'm using the kneeling chair and working at my original desk workstation, which is now too low for me to use because I'm in a kneeling chair, which puts you higher.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think about that when you say, oh, kneeling chair, I'm going to be lower to the ground.
Nope,
you're higher up. So that's kind of awkward. And then I just got a cardboard box and put my own laptop from home on top of that. So when I get tired of working on the desk, which is now too low for me, on the somewhat less uncomfortable kneeling chair, which is still better than a regular chair for me now, but
yes,
not really comfortable, then I can stand up and work on my laptop, which is also now too low for me.
Because so I'm standing up,
I need the perfect size box, and I just don't have that.
What I think you should have done, do you have a tower PC, or do you have a work laptop?
I have a tower PC as my main workstation, and I have my own laptop.
What I would have loved to picture is you putting your laptop on top of your tower, on top of the desk.
That's more work than I want to undertake.
Keep giving you groin sprain. Yeah, it's probably not the way to go, admittedly.
So it's been a fun few months. I'm adjusting. At least driving the car is getting a little bit better.
It's good you didn't have a stick shift, man. It's a good thing you didn't have a stick shift.
So here we are. I'm enjoying a beverage of my choice.
Yes.
Which is a Harpoon cider.
One of the only drinks of alcohol that doesn't kill you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm allergic to sulfites, so wine is completely out now. As are most ciders. This is the only cider I've found so far which does not contain sulfites, which is, I guess, a common preservative.
And they don't always list sulfites.
Yeah, they don't
always. Because we kept, like, trying to find ciders for you, and you kept getting that weird closing.
Yeah, even though
thing.
It wouldn't say, you know, a lot of ciders say they have sulfites right on the
not
label.
All of them.
A lot of them don't, but they have them anyway. But Harpoon, I have to give them my endorsement because it doesn't kill me.
Harpoon.
And that's...
1 out of 1 smikes approve. You know what?
What doesn't kill me makes me stronger, right?
I think it just doesn't kill you.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure that... pretty sure that whole what doesn't kill me makes me stronger thing is not true. I'm going to try to hibernate my computer. I always forget how loud the fans are. Sleep.
Yeah, Mike's out of range of the microphone there.
Sleep.
He's trying to use his force powers to turn off his computer.
Sleep!
And it looks like it's kind of working.
Yeah.
Working. All right.
Well, then the heat kicked on, so just can't win.
So what's up, man? What's new?
I got my DAC.
It's a DAC for...
And I can't get it to work.
Digital analog converter.
Digital analog converter and amp. Very pretty. I actually have two of them.
You got two of them?
Yeah, I bought one, and then the guy... This is kind of a funny story. So I bought one.
Do you have to give it back?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I bought one from a third person. Very hard to get, right? I told you how they were phasing out the model I wanted that had optical in.
So it meant it, like, probably is cheaper going out because they're going to replace it with a better one?
They already did replace it. So okay. It's actually more expensive.
So it's more expensive. Oh, because it has the extra feature of...
That people wanted, yeah.
SPDIF.
Optical out. Right. The new one, in. Optical in. Yeah, I want to try it from my computer. So right. I managed...
It has to be in because it's digital to audio.
Audio,
not
right.
to analog. It's not a... Digital to analog.
It's not a CAD.
Not a CAD. It's a DAC.
So I bought it from this guy, Phil P. Chen. On Amazon, third-party seller. Don't normally go to third-party seller route. Had to pay shipping, no Prime. But it was the only option I had. And nothing. Like and they charged my card, and then they took the charge away, which I thought was really weird. So I'm like, let me reach out to this guy. Like, I know I'm being a little impatient, but I'll be like, hey, it's been 5 days. I think you're supposed to have shipped by now.
Right.
And nothing. And then I got an email from Amazon saying, your seller missed the ship date. We don't know what's going on. You can try to cancel it if you'd like. So it's a Yeti. It's picking up everything. Don't.
Okay, I'm concerned that you're not in the range here.
I am watching my waveforms I am waveforming. Right, cool. So I didn't hear from him, and then got an email from Amazon. They're like, "Hey, you know, well, we don't know what's going on either." So like,
when Amazon doesn't know what's going on, and something's not right.
The drones aren't even telling you.
Yeah.
So I emailed him again, and nothing. And then I tried to cancel it, and canceling a third party thing is like a fucking pain in the ass. Like, Amazon makes spending money very easy, except in this one case. And the only reason I even care is because I had a decent gift card balance that I put into it, and they didn't refund that when they ceased the credit card thing. So I actually, had a chat with them. So then I get an email from him, 6 days later, like, hey, I'm sorry, I've been in the hospital. Do you still want this?
I've heard that one before.
I know, but I kind of feel like it might have been legit. So I had already bought another one because I thought he was just, trying to fraud me. And so I was
defraud you.
I think. Fraud me. He's trying to straight up fraud me. He's like, hey, I'm frauding you, bro. And so I figured in the end I could just return the other DAC that I had bought, the same one. So I had managed to find another one. And just return that because this guy, it was easier to not have to wait forever to get my gift card balance back. Mm. So I was like, ship it. And then the blizzard hit New York City a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And so it didn't get mailed out right away. So I just been waiting forever. And then I tried to try it tonight, and I have no idea how it works.
You have no idea how it works?
I mean, I understand how it should work. It just doesn't. I tried it with the headphone in and the USB in, and neither works.
Is it possible that it just doesn't work?
It's possible. I mean, it turns on, and it, you know...
It lights
screen,
up.
The screen shows shit, like USB. But I have a second one, so I can try the other one now. Because I already was going to return it, so... Hey, maybe he was frauding me. Right.
Well, maybe we'll play around with that afterwards.
Yeah.
All right. You know who had this is kind of a, legendary, mythical thing. So I don't know if it's true or not,
ooh,
but it was rumored,
mm-hmm,
that the first gen PlayStation console, the first gen of that console,
mm-hmm,
not just any PlayStation, but
I was imagining someone named Jen.
The original PlayStation, and you can tell these because they have distinct audio outs on the back. Huh. They have left and right audio out.
Yeah, mine had that.
You had a first generation one.
Yeah.
Then, and it's got the yellow one for the video. And,
composite.
Right. But I think the later ones went to a separate cable that just ran everything out.
Oh, a unified...
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I had that one.
Maybe.
Oh, man,
you can tell because the plugs are right on the back.
Right, actually,
you can look
RCA.
This up if you want to. While
I can picture it.
But it was rumored that these PlayStations had one of the best DACs that was commercially available at the time.
And they still hold up to this day?
I don't know about that. I mean, I'm remembering stuff from like 15 years ago. That was that was the rumor that, wow, you got one of those. Hey, that is an awesome DAC, man.
So now I'm imagining
a hipster. You can play CDs on it.
Oh, yeah. And it had the visualizer.
Yeah.
Back when that was a thing.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I had one. I actually had a Sega CD back in the day.
Wow, man.
And it played, video CDs or something?
Yeah, all anime used to come on video CD.
No, it wasn't that. It wasn't VCD. It was something else. It was some horrible, lame
format.
Format that
but not
they
lame.
Could not lame. That they could, I guess, overlay or add to an audio CD that would display images.
Huh.
And it was like, I think there were like three CDs that were ever released for that format. And it came with, you know, it came with like one.
Uh-huh.
It was like a compilation CD. I think maybe two of the tracks had that on it. I don't know. Oh my God. It was a long time ago. But man, that certainly didn't go anywhere.
Well, it turned into neither the Saturn. Format
nor the Sega CD.
The Sega CD morphed into the Saturn, and then that worked out really well.
It was a cool console, though. I have to admit, I had an awful lot of good times
with the Saturn or the
Sega CD. The Sega CD. Okay. I mean, the load times are crazy, but you know.
Well, nineties disc.
Freaking Lunar.
Yeah, I actually played that on PS1. I went back and got the Silver Star.
Yeah. That was an amazing game. I say that now, remembering it as being amazing.
Don't go back. Just keep it in your memory. I know,
because all the JRPGs
are batshit insane. And I'm pretty sure you're instantly a pedophile when you play a JRPG. Because if you look at that art, like, they're all little kids. They could be 40 or 3,000 because they're all ancient gods or whatever in JRPGs. But they look like children.
Clones, gods roaming the earth as a prepubescent girl.
It's that old chestnut in Japan. Somehow, Okami, the idea of a she-wolf god spirit that paints with the tip of her tail, seems way more sensible to me than half the stuff I played.
Did you play Okami?
Oh, yeah.
On which console?
The original one, PS2.
Yeah, me too. I kind of wish I waited and played it for the Wii because that would have been so awesome.
Yeah, but that was before the Motion Plus, right? So you'd be like, you'd swipe and then it would like.
But you still go could up point on the screen and do it that way.
But there's always that lag. I don't know. It was probably cool.
It was a pain in the ass to do it with the controller. And it was a super pain in the ass.
I don't remember that. I must have just adjusted.
Yeah. Have to like pause the game and then like go and. All right, I'm going to draw this. And I'm going to
Did it do the thing where it started slow and then it would speed up again? It would start to speed up?
Probably.
I seem to remember that. I forgot there's a term for that. I use it in campaign.
Yeah, that would have been great on the Wii.
Yeah. Or the Wii Plus.
The Wii U.
The Motion Plus. Motion or the Plus. Wii U. So we were having this conversation the other day. I found it interesting that you were hangouting? Is that texting? What do you call that? Chatting?
What?
IMing?
Hangouts?
Yeah, how do you verbalize that?
I would call it texting, even though I know it's technically not.
It's IMing, right?
MMS or whatever. Right. IMing, yeah, sure.
It's IMing. But we used, Melinda, your wife, very wisely said, let's stop texting, let's try Hangouts, and it's way better.
I think that was my idea, actually. Oh. I know that was my idea.
Well, your wife will never listen to this, so she'll never know I almost gave her credit for something.
Yeah.
Which I never want to do.
Yeah. No, that was my idea. And now, I think it was because somebody was having trouble with getting the regular text messages.
I think it started with your wife, and now my wife has
maybe,
that.
Maybe, yeah, and now Erica hasn't, she can't get
all... They're intermittent, like, notifications, text, emails, hangouts, whatever.
Oh, it's just all notifications,
though. Yeah, but she just upgraded to Lollipop on her phone, so...
She's got a new one, she's got an S5!
I know.
I mean, which is about to be replaced by the S6.
I know.
But still, it's pretty darn new.
I know.
And you would think that shouldn't be a problem.
Android's got its pluses and its minuses, the open source thing. But
I'm still really happy with my LG G3. Mm-hmm. I gotta put in the
little... I know, you went gay for it, man.
No.
Yes.
That's an overstatement.
You color coordinate the case of the phone to the season.
I had a green case, and I was like, oh, it's Christmassy. I'll just put on the green case for the Christmas
season. Do you still have that case on there?
I do not.
Why not?
Because I got tired of it.
Is it still Christmas time?
No. I have a gray case now.
I don't know if that ties in.
I don't know. You can tie that in with any...
The winter doldrums we're just climbing out
of? Yeah, sure.
The smog?
It was nice, though. It was sunny out today, so it was... If I had a bright yellow case, maybe that would have been gray for today, but I don't. I have gray and I have green.
Gray in it and green it.
And I have a maroon case, but that's not... That's not the sandy papery quicksandy. Yeah. It used to be the quicksand was like the name that people recognized for that kind of case. It's a rough texture. It's but like kind of like sandpaper, but still sort of soft.
It's like a super fine grit.
And my old weathered dry skin cannot otherwise hold on to a phone.
He is, by the way, he's like caressing his fingers together.
Yeah, I had to get special soap just so that my skin wouldn't
break apart. You gave me some, and it's kind of nice. Yeah. You've got it all over your house.
Well, yeah, because I wash my hands in various different places in my own house. Like,
yeah, but
I don't know if you do that or not.
Yes, but like you've got it in the kitchen, in the downstairs bathroom, in the upstairs bathroom. Yes. I saw you had like 15 of them in back stock.
I got extra.
Listen, man, stop enabling me. What I was going
to
say was...
It's good soap. And to tag on to that
never gonna
briefly.
Yeah, okay.
What dries your hands out, one of the things that's really bad for your hands when it's dry...
Wait, let them guess.
Is guess.
Do, 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 do.
Okay, you had your chance to guess. And if you guessed... nice fragrant perfumed soaps, you are correct.
Ding 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 ding.
If you guess something else, you may also be right. I don't know. But that's definitely one of the things. And I was going to an allergist for another issue, which is related to my food allergies.
Back to the soap.
I can't eat quinoa either.
I made quinoa a delicious kale pesto quinoa dinner tonight.
Yeah. I will not be kissing you then.
Well, not on the lips.
And I happened to mention this. She said, do you have any other problems? I was like, oh yeah, well, my hands get dry in the winter. She's like, oh, you stop using what? She asked me what kind of soap I used. And I said, oh, my wife gets stuff from Bed Bath Beyond. The other place,
Bath and Body Works.
Bath and Body Works.
Which is just full of chemicals.
Yes.
Just full of chemicals.
Smells lovely.
In an assaulting, aggressive kind of way.
Yeah.
Same with Yankee Candle. Apparently that's all like toxic chemical.
Oh yeah. But she said, yeah, you should try using a soap that doesn't have that stuff in it. And I did. I used an organic.
It's free trade, shea butter. Fragrance free foam.
Yeah, it doesn't really smell like much of anything.
No, it doesn't.
Which is fine
like
with me.
Just sheer cleanliness.
Yeah. And it actually helped my hands quite a bit. But my hands were bad shape this year.
It got bad.
But yeah, I'm endorsing it another product.
Man, this is just turning into product.
I know. But I kept interrupting you, Mike, and I apologize for that.
Well, I was just going to say that I thought it was funny the other day. I'm just going to talk over you now. I don't care. I will find a way to edit you out of this track if I have to, Mike. I was like excitedly texting you about the Titan X they just announced.
And then you were
like kind of excitedly texting me about the NVIDIA.
Yeah, we were talking, hey, did you see this thing NVIDIA just came out with?
Yeah, but we were talking about two different things, and we didn't really care about what each other was talking about.
Mike's like, yeah, they just come up with this. They announced this new video card.
The graphic I've been waiting like 6 months for, and it's going to cost an arm and a leg, and I've been ready. I've been like, I carved a chunk of my credit debt off and paid it down on a faster card with interest-free to get ready for it. Like, that's how ready I've been for this for 6 to 8 months.
Like I'm still running like a 570 in my
I have two 560 Ti's, and they suck dick. Well, but I do video editing for work.
So. Okay. I think I've got like a 570 in my
you have a better one than I do. Rig. But yeah, I have two, and that is really
still
not great.
Still sucks.
SLI is not the bee's
knees. But I hardly ever use that. Most of my gaming, when I do a PC game lately, has been on my Lenovo gaming laptop, my Y500, which has got, does fine, but I don't usually play like the super... up-to-date things. I play, like, Borderlands or Diablo 3 or...
You don't play graphically intensive games, do you?
Not in a while, no.
I don't feel like you ever really talk about a game that I'm like, oh, yeah, that's hard to play. Like, you never even played the original Crysis, right?
No.
That game was, like, transcendent. It was so beautiful.
No. But, yeah, so NVIDIA came up with this crazy new video card. They also announced at the Mobile World Conference, which... was that a separate event?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That they're coming out with a new, basically an Android TV console, kind of like the Nexus Player, which nobody is like, what's the Nexus Player? Because nobody's buying
them.
Wait,
they need to go Google it right now.
Yeah, go Google Nexus Player. Yeah, then Google the NVIDIA version with the Android TV. So basically it's like an Android console. It's going to play a lot of Android tablety games, probably,
but with the Tegra X1, which is like
with
crazy
with a really
powerful
good
processor. Yeah,
And they're porting over some games like the Borderlands pre-sequel, some of the classics, the classic Valve games, like
Half-Life 2.
Half-Life 2. A few others. I can't remember what they're doing. And my hope is that they are actually going to open that up to Steam Play. Because Steam Play runs on, obviously, Windows, runs on Mac, and it runs on Linux. People have been saying, can we please get Steam Play on Android? Hasn't happened yet.
What is your dreams, Mike? Tell the audience what your dream is, what you're driving towards.
To only pay for things once and be able to play them on whatever
platform. Describe the what you told me about the board game apps.
That's something else. That's something else entirely.
Oh, well. I can't even keep up with all your dreams.
Yeah, I know. I have a lot of them. Yeah, and they're crazy. So that's the NVIDIA. It's going to do Android TV, which is basically like a souped up Chromecast-y thing. But beefy. It could be the next big console. I'm already boring Mike.
Sorry, that was totally
one of the other announcements at Mobile World Conference. Is that right? I think. And MWC, whatever it is. Is that Google was saying, hey, we're releasing an update to Android TV that's going to make it easier for developers to implement mobile devices like tablets and smartphones as controllers for games played on your Android TV or your NVIDIA, what are they calling that? I don't remember.
Shield tablet.
Shield tablet.
Oh, wait.
The new one. I think it's just a shield.
It's the shield, yeah.
Yeah.
Captain America swooped in, grabbed it.
Right,
what the fuck is this?
So a lot of people are like, well, why would I want to use a phone or a tablet as a controller? Because it doesn't have real buttons on it. That seems stupid.
And then Smike said...
I said, what about board games?
And then they walked away because they were like, why is this weird fucking dude talking to me? Listening to my conversation.
But this is my other big dream. Is that they'll start implementing more board games, and not just board games, but local multiplayer board games, where on the TV, which is being fed the Shield box or whatever it is, that's on the TV, and everybody's got their own tablet or their own phone, and they've got, like, say, you're playing the Catan, and you've got your cards there.
You can see your hand. You can
see your own hand. Nobody else can see that if you don't let them. And you can, you know, choose what things to play and, you know, what to interact with the other players and maybe a private level. I mean...
Oh, like how Zach and Mary were doing Resistance and they were the spies and they were texting each other.
Okay,
and...
might not work really well for Resistance.
No, nothing probably works not. Well for Resistance because that game's a load of bullshit.
Ah, we've had fun playing Resistance.
Well, yeah, because it gives us a chance to just shout at each other at the top of our lungs. You know, we don't play it since Eric and I had a kid because we can't shout anymore.
That's true.
There's a lot of shouting in that game.
So hopefully, because obviously you can make the interface on the phone / tablet controller whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I assume then it would play really well for board games with a bunch of people in the room with the TV.
It sounds awesome. It just sounds like such a niche market. I'm not sure it's going to happen. Because people, we're a dying breed in gaming together in the same room. These kids nowadays.
But board games people make and sell board games. And there is a significant board game industry.
It's bigger than it was, I think.
Yeah. And if board games don't take off to the point that, hey, you can buy this $200 console and then get the games for even half the price of what the physical game would cost.
They're expensive.
I would be all over that.
Yeah, because the board games are taking over that house of yours.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. I wouldn't have to store them anywhere. They would be all on an SD card or something.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Crazy like a fox.
Are foxes crazy?
I think they must be.
Yeah. Yeah, they kind of look crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, they look like wimps, but somehow they haven't died out.
Because they're crafty.
Like a fox.
Is that a saying, or is it just crazy? Crafty like a fox? That seems like it makes more sense than crazy.
It does, actually. But I feel like Crazy Like a Fox gets more play. Maybe it's the Fox's, like, secret PR campaign.
Yeah. So what's up, man? It's It was nice out today. I don't want to talk about the weather much because the weather is like boring to talk about.
Well, okay. But it was. We live in Western New York State.
Yeah.
It's been a hellaciously bad winter.
Yeah.
Second winter in a row. It's been hellaciously bad.
Yeah.
I think we are entitled to have like a minute.
Yeah.
Of just sheer appreciation for the fucking 45 degrees sunny day.
It was
like 45
degrees out.
The snow was melting.
I had literally forgotten what it was like to be outside and have it not be literally freezing, or, you know, like much colder than freezing.
Yeah.
I walked out to my car, and it hit me. I was like, what is going on out here?
Did you smell spring? Like, you know that smell in the air when it's been cold and it starts to get warm? It's like the smell of melting snow. I don't know how else to describe it.
I don't know.
Ah, sulfites. Sure.
I smelled something. I smelled, stuff smelled was dripping all happiness. Off the building I work in.
Okay. Maybe people stop shitting on the roof.
Very drippy building. But yeah, it was a weird sensation because I'd forgotten what that had felt like.
You know what's crazy? I was thinking about this. My son does not know what warm weather is. Because he can't possibly remember the summer. So he literally must think that going outside is only an awful, awful thing.
Yeah. That's weird.
We took him for a walk today. He seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah, we have a cow pasture next to our house, and some, I think one of the cows gave birth like in the late fall. Oh. So the cow's probably going through the same thing.
It's right. Like, whoa.
What? Life isn't always just freezing my fur off. And it's, that must be, you know, a great feeling to really, you know, finally be warm outside.
Yeah. It's a very complex thought process for a calf.
Wow. I don't know. Cows are dumb.
Yeah, it was the low hanging fruit there. Sorry. Yeah.
It reminds me of something I just read today about daylight savings time, which yesterday was the first technical day of daylight savings.
Today's
the first day it actually
sucks
meant
for people.
Anything.
Yeah,
yeah. Because you go back to work
and you're like,
But I guess there's this misperception that it has something to do with farmers, and it doesn't, because farmers don't care. What,
well, they don't go by the
farmers are going by the sun anyway,
yeah.
Right?
No, I thought it was like Benjamin Franklin and productivity.
I think it's something to do with World War I.
Apparently, everyone just has a different interpretation of daylight savings. I believe it's the time that Abraham Lincoln sat on that big chair and got stuck, and they poured cement on him.
Maybe an idea that Ben Franklin, because I remember something too about Ben Franklin, but I also remember reading something about it being implemented because of World War I.
Well, it would make sense because they worried about air raids, right? So they want people to be.
Anyway, there's no fucking reason for it today. No reason. Other than it would require some extra coding if we switched it off.
Coding in the national consciousness. I love that Arizona's like, no, fuck you guys. We're not doing it.
Yeah, some other place. I grew up in Indiana, and there was like a little tiny
part of Indiana. Oh, there's
part
of Indiana. Yeah, that's right.
It was like that.
It's like a principality.
They still are.
No. Just no. We're just not going to do it, guys. They want us drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm not doing it.
Which, because I grew up there, it was, we didn't change our clocks, but we had to change everything anyway because the TV stations that we watched switched their times. So it was like all of a sudden the news is on at 11 instead of 10. So you got to stay up later anyway if you want to watch the news.
But why would they?
This is pre-internet, so people would actually watch the news at night.
Oh, okay. But no, why would they change the time? Because they were broadcasting from outside that area?
Yeah, they were broadcasting from outside the area.
That's the most annoying, like, stick-in-the-mud thing ever. Like, I am not. Yeah. This is a line I will not cross, and I will inconvenience myself incredibly.
It's dumb. We should get rid of it. And who's arguing? Who's out there arguing? No, man. I love daylight savings time.
But it's daylight saving time, so they wouldn't even say that. They would say saving time.
Okay.
For the pedantists who listen
to
our podcast.
Who is out there making that argument? Who's fighting the fight to keep daylight saving time?
You're looking at it the wrong way. Not enough people are fighting to get it done away with.
That's stupid, though.
Don't forget also that politicians just stay in office till they die. So if it's been a certain way since they were kids,
So it's just inertia, basically, that's keeping us in this stupid cycle.
You could say that about a lot of stuff. I mean, you could say that about racism, too.
Well, wow.
I'm just saying, you could expand that. That's a kind of general, but yes, I think it is kind of true.
Inertia?
Right. Yeah, just it's not even inertia as much as like a self-created gravity. Just sort of pulls itself. It's like pulling itself forward. Did I get too deep with the racism thing?
We could go there. I mean, we can talk about.
Well, I have a really, I think, fucked up theory about racism and how to fix it.
All right.
I'd
love to hear it, Mike.
So
put that on the record.
So I have a sociology degree, right?
Oh, okay. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Like, I'm so, not coming out of I'm not okay. like, I think we should kill all the whiteies. We're the problem. Well, we actually are. No, so my department at Geneseo is very, like, there's the very scientific sociology, which most other fields will laugh at because sociology is, like, the softest science there is. And then there's the very touchy-feely sociology. We fell in the touchy-feely camp, mm-hmm. which is great, right? It's, you know, I was acting in sociology. It was great. But it occurred to me, and I had a real break with everyone else on this in my department at the time, it occurred to me that, like, you kind of need to remove the kids from the parents entirely to really break that cycle of anything that inbred in like that is just that horrifically ingrained into the genetic like consciousness. Yeah,
inbred is something else.
Yeah, well, it kind of went hand in hand, but but I mean, that works in every direction. Like if you're trying to break any, I think, social stereotype, it's kind of the same thing. And you know about, what is it, Plato's metals? You know about that whole thing?
I don't recall offhand. Like
the gold, silver, and bronze?
No.
So he had this theory that...
sounds like the Olympic medals.
Well, the Olympics are Greek.
Okay.
Yeah, it ties together. It was product placement. The bronze farmers and the silver farmers needed to outdo the gold farmers because they grew in plants back then.
It's a World of Warcraft thing now. I'm yeah, confused.
The gold farmer. Nice. So yeah, this thing that you should take all the children away from the parents at like age 7 or something and then kind of sort them Harry Potter style, figure out they were gold, silver, or bronze. And like the golds would be raised with the purpose of leadership. And then the silver would be like the merchants and the bronze would be the craftsmen and that kind of thing.
So this sounds like tracking, which we know is bad now.
It sounds awful, right? It's just an awful idea. Well, I mean, taking them from their parents is also pretty bad too. But I kept coming back to that and I was like...
And that's also Brave New World sort of stuff.
Well, that's... Huxley got it.
Okay, yeah.
It all comes back to Plato.
Sure.
But I was thinking and I was like, you know, it seems to me that affirmative action... Like, we saw what affirmative action tried to do and it utterly failed. Because by calling so much attention to not saying, you know, male woman or mailman... You have to say mm-hmm. postal worker. It made people hyper aware of the gender differences, and then the affirmative action hiring practices backfired, and then you know white people started complaining, which is like ridiculous. But at the same time, they were able to say, "But I'm better qualified for this job."
Right.
You know what I mean? So affirmative. I'm tying this together. Don't worry. So affirmative action. We saw what happens when you hyper accentuate the differences of something, right? So that doesn't work.
Like, okay.
We all just kind of swept affirmative action under the rug. You ever notice that? Like no one ever said, "Hey, it worked." It just kind of went away.
Well, it didn't. Okay.
We downplayed it.
I'm letting you go with this.
Okay.
I'm letting you go with this.
I know. Yeah, I understand where you're taking umbrage with that. But, so that didn't work.
Do you?
I think I do. So that didn't work. And then this whole like, well, you know, we'll just educate people. Eventually racism will go away. That's not working. So it seems to me that something that is as, like hate is really attractive. And it's very easy to learn. So it seems to me that if you really want to...
It is learned.
When I said genetic, I meant like on a cultural level. So I should have like specified that. Like, I don't mean people are born to hate. I think they're not in any way.
Right. I agree.
So anyway, my whole point is I think the only way to truly break something like that is you literally have to do like a fucking tabula rasa. Just clean slate. You have to just take the kids away before the parents fuck them up and say, okay, I am now going to raise you. And guess what? I'm not racist. So you're not going to learn that. And no one has the right to do that.
To take your kids away.
I wouldn't trust anyone to do that. I wouldn't want to do that to anyone else. You know what I mean? So it's an unwinnable situation. But that is my depressing, fucked up, The only way I think to fix racism is to take children away from their parents before they can learn it. And I don't think anyone has the right to do that.
Right. I agree with that part.
Everything else. I told you, no one really, this isn't a popular way of looking at it.
Yeah, there's no, there's not really, I don't see a good way out.
I don't think
because every time that somebody says, hey, if we fix things here, they ignore all the other variables. Like, for a long time, I believed that, I really did believe, like, hey, if we fix things at the level of education, and then once people go through this, you know, this more completely level playing field, egalitarian educational system, which is pretty much impossible anyway.
It's impossible. Just completely.
Then they'll have much better outcomes, more upward mobility, things like that. But that's all.
Were you younger when you thought that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to believe it.
Oh, yeah, sure. Because you're not, you don't hate.
Yeah.
You're full of love.
Well, that's one of the things I remember reading one time. It was kind of a trite way of describing the difference between a liberal and a conservative. A liberal is a person who dreams of someday living in a perfectly egalitarian society. A conservative is somebody who believes they already are living in that society.
Nice. I thought that was going to go much darker.
No. I'm holding back. I'm holding back.
Well, that's a saying. That's a saying. Our neighbor is, so we live next to two school teachers and,
jeez.
Well, no, I think it's cool. Like they're really, I mean, I don't know.
No, I'm just saying that cause I know where this is going.
Oh yeah. Going. Yeah. Well, just, I mean, it's interesting to me. Like we know our kid's going to have to deal with whatever the fuck state the schools are at by the time he's five. I mean, he's only, you know, just past one now, but the Common Core thing is getting a lot of people pissed off. And it's more than that. It's not just Common Core. It's a lot of other things with standardized testing.
Yes.
And they're like, our neighbors are like actively involved in protesting it, which I think is awesome.
It is. Okay. Yeah.
That's really all.
It's a complex issue and people are, there's also a lot of misunderstanding about it. I'm not saying that these people who are obviously teachers or in the system, I'm not saying that they misunderstand things.
I'm not beating up Common Core, which you may think I'm doing.
Right. But that's what they seem to be.
They're more upset about standardized testing,
which is, I mean, that's a big part of,
but that's been a problem since before Common Core.
Right.
I skated through high school due to my like just standardized testing scores.
Well, I'm a little bit older than you, and I also grew up in a different state.
Mm-hmm.
And we had standardized testing too, but it was like, oh, well, here's a standardized test. Do whatever you want. It's not going to go on your grade. Just try your best.
Oh, no. I mean, you didn't have Regents?
No.
Yeah, the Regents make or break you. If you don't do well in the Regents, good luck in college.
Yeah, we didn't have anything like that.
Yeah, so you have a...
We just had our grade.
Your view is wrong.
And they... Well, it's certainly different. We had like...
Oh, so it's wrong.
It was like Iowa.
I actually took the Iowas when I was younger.
Yeah. And I think that's what we had. But yeah, they wanted to evaluate people, but they weren't going to put that on your actual grade.
I love standardized testing cause I was so good at it.
I was good at it too. Honestly.
So, you know, it's hard to be like, well, but like, as I got older and sociology actually was really important for me to learn this. Like when you say, imagine an emerald. Someone from the inner city is actually not going to have a very easy time doing that. So, like, there is a skew. There is an assumption on a cultural zeitgeist level that, like, where standardized testing just fucking fails.
And of course, one of the obvious problems with the Regents, as you're describing it, is that I'm sure your classes were geared completely towards getting you ready for the Regents.
Well, they had to be.
Right.
And now...
When I didn't experience that at all.
And you experience a more pure form of education. But think it's even worse now because the Regents aren't the only thing they have to standardize test anymore. And the teachers are evaluated based on the standardized test scores. That's what they're protesting.
Right. And so, the state is finally starting to collect a lot of teacher evaluation stuff. And I think this year, I think this is the first.
Well, it's hitting ahead this year. So yeah, that must be.
Actually, this full disclosure, I work for
an educational
state run organization, and a big part of my job is handling this sort of data.
Don't talk too much about
that. No, that's all. I'm just saying that I'm intimately familiar with
you, so you're actually handling student or teacher evaluations?
I do not see that stuff.
Okay.
I do not see that stuff.
You're part of the problem, man.
I'm part of the system, but I am not that particular cog. Right?
I'm the quiet, small cog that spins really fast. But
I do hear about it, and I know that it's, certain teachers are getting super concerned about this, about basically having their jobs on the line.
Yeah. And now it's the medical profession starting to do this, too, with customer satisfaction scores. Have you heard about that?
I heard something about it.
My cousin-in-law's husband is a doctor, and he's like, yeah, man, like, our pay is based on, like, a NPS survey at the end. It's like, if I just told someone they have cancer, like, what, they're not going to fucking grade me well. Like, well, my prognosis sucks, but I was a nice guy. I give him a 10. Yes, I would recommend him to tell everyone I know who has cancer that they have cancer.
So that's when the doctor's like, hey,
would you take the survey first?
Yeah. Like, you know what? Let's go out and have lunch. I'm buying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, hey, would you just fill out the survey while I sign this? Oh, great. Okay, so you have cancer. it's fucked up. And I actually work in corporate America where CSATs are everything. So I see that.
And what is that? Just for the people who don't know.
Oh, customer satisfaction
score. Customer satisfaction.
So you know how you're familiar with NPS, the Net Promoter Score? You are, you don't realize it. Every time online or on the phone or even in the mail, someone says, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate us? Would you recommend us to your friends and family? Any right. version of that ties back to one thing, which is NPS.
Right.
And it's a cool idea that our company used to do, like, really honestly. But then, like, Verizon's notorious for just, like, telecommunications NPS, it goes negative 100 to 100. They're all in, like, the negative 40s. Verizon's like, we have an amazing score because they're totally fucking gaming the system. Every employee's job is to just get a good NPS score. Like, no matter what it takes. So, I mean, in a way, it seems like almost egalitarian. Like, if everyone does that, then everyone wins. But it's not legit because shit's happening on the back end you're not seeing. But no, I don't know. I really hate tying a teacher's salary to standardized testing. The Wire did an amazing job talking about, just showing that when they did the school season. Because every season in The Wire is... Did you watch The Wire? I forget.
No.
It gets to the point where this one cop, not a very good cop, switches careers because he's like, I'm a bad cop.
Becomes a teacher
in inner city because he's like very idealistic. He's younger, kind of like awkward guy. And
like he's a bad, just not good at being a cop?
Or he's might a have cop? Killed someone who
okay.
shouldn't have been killed because right. he just was inept.
So yeah, teaching seems like a logical jump.
Well, in the inner city, yeah. but they like the shit that they do is crazy. He finds a whole bunch of brand new textbooks that are just sitting in a storeroom. Because like just the processing of them getting distributed never happened.
Yeah.
And he's like using like a 20-year-old version of the same textbook for his kids. But the craziest part is the standardized testing time comes. Because they did the show when that was starting to happen. And they just raised the heat in the building. Like to like 80 something degrees. And he's like, why are you guys doing this? And they said, oh, well, we know that if these kids are less hyperactive, so they get tired from the heat, they'll pay slightly more attention. So your scores go up slightly because they're not as distracted. They're just fighting to stay awake. And he's like, you've got to be shitting me. And that kind of stuff, it's not exaggerating too much of what the state of affairs is.
Oh,
wow, we went deep and dark on this one.
Yeah.
Buddies in space, fixing the world. Well, we're just
calling
them out and not offering it. The only solutions we're offering we don't want to do.
Man.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Should we talk about something fun then?
Yeah. Let's talk about something fun.
You know what I was thinking of? Because as I was driving here, I was just kind of remarking myself about how cool it is that I can see the pavement on the road as opposed to a thick layer of ice and sludge.
Then you're not talking about you weren't driving over the band Pavement, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
Like the original alternative band? Like the original alternative? Everything ties back to them before Nirvana and all that?
No.
Nothing?
Before Nirvana?
Before the grunge thing, like the original alternative band was Pavement.
Okay.
And I don't think they're great at all.
I am somewhat amused that you're starting alternative around the Nirvana era.
Well, my generation associates grunge as being the original alternative. I know it starts before that. Yeah. I'm saying it ties back to them.
Okay.
Okay. You ever see Hotel Rwanda when he's driving on the road and the guy's like, well, the bad guy is like, hey, drive on this road when you get the chance. And it's all foggy and Don Cheadle's like driving and his car's like shaking and he gets out and he's just driving over a road of dead bodies. That's what I'm imagining you driving on the band Pavement was. Anyway, go on. So
anyway, like, wow, it's really nice out. I can see the pavement. My car has traction now. I did a little bit of spirited driving. Nothing, you know, nothing crazy.
Did you go around that crazy hairpin turn?
Nothing illegal, Mike, but spirited driving.
Okay, because that turn is scary.
Which turn?
The 90-degree turn near your house.
It's, okay, yeah.
Oh, did you just, like, whip around it?
No. Oh. No, no. I'm always careful when I go around
that's
that
turn. That's a terrifying turn.
A little bit. It was worse driving around that in the moving truck, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Driving anywhere in a moving truck sucks.
But yeah, you know what I used to do for fun when I was a kid? And when I say I was more of a teen, late teens.
A teen wolf?
This is growing up in a small town in Indiana. Indiana. No daylight saving time.
Could stay out all night.
Yeah.
I don't know what time it is. Time doesn't change here.
I'm going to stay out till the news comes on. I don't know what that's going to be.
Oh, hey, hoser, calm down.
No, that's Hoosier, Mike.
Oh, Hoosier.
Not Hoser. Hoser's Canadian.
I was saying the Canadian way.
Hoosier is Indiana.
Yeah, but the Midwest and the Canadians sound similar.
No.
Sure, I'm sure your wife would disagree with that.
Yeah. Vehemently. Vehemently?
Yeah, vehemently.
Vehemently.
Not vehemently. It just sounds weird. Right? I mean, how else would you say it? Anyway, go on. So what'd you do when you were
there's not much to do in this town. So basically anybody who had a car would go out cruising.
Right. And what is
cruising? Do they have that around? Did you grow up in like a cruising area?
Well, what is cruising?
Because you don't know what it is, so I guess not.
No, I have an idea.
All right. Well, it was a strip called Main Street. It was Main Street, and it was the cruise strip. It was maybe like 1.5-2 miles at the most strip of downtown road. And people would just get in their cars and drive back and forth along this strip. There were a couple of places where you'd, you know, turn around and traffic was just completely backed up though.
So you were drag racing?
No, you couldn't. I mean, it would take you like 30 minutes to get from one side to the other.
So you're just driving around.
Okay.
I guess that's what I thought it was. The way you were setting it up, I was imagining like drag racing.
No.
Girl in the bandana, you know, driving.
That's racing and cruising are completely different things.
I know, but the way you were setting it up.
No. But that was what I would do for fun.
So it would be like an hour round trip?
Yeah. You might take a break and stop at the McDonald's or something and and get a burger.
Yeah, they're only like 10
But then you have to get back in the game.
What game? There's no, you don't win this game.
Yes, you do, Mike.
Oh. How?
By getting laid.
Which we've already established.
That's pretty much winning any game, though, when you're that age. You're pretty much your whole life, late teens to maybe early to mid-20s-ish. That's the main game.
I got into the game late. Remember, it wasn't until college that I got into the whole getting laid game.
Well, okay. Might have still been playing, though. I don't know.
I just was playing the wrong game.
Just not playing very well.
I was like, I just need to really respect women, and I just want to date a nice girl and marry her. I learned all the rules later. So, first of all, let's paint a picture. What were you driving? How much was gas? Because that's important to these kind of stories.
Gas was probably under $1.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. Because this would have been like the mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
So, a dollar-ish. I don't know.
Gas was under $1 at one point when I was... Yeah. First got my car.
The first car I had was it was like a 79 Mercury Capri, which was one of the most awful cars ever made. It was a hatchback though. And it was the same body style as the 80s, late 70s Mustangs.
Huh.
Which to me is like the classic Mustang, which everybody else is like, oh god, those are the worst Mustangs ever made. But that's like what I grew up as being a Mustang. You know, the Mustang GT with the big ugly hatchback and like, yeah, that's awesome.
Did it have the wheel on the tire on the hatchback? I'm thinking something else.
No, I don't know what you're thinking of.
I don't know what I'm fucking thinking of.
But yeah, so my car looked like a Mustang, but it was not. It was awful.
Okay, so we've got the price of gas, we've got the shitty car. So explain to me, walk me through how driving an hour round trip on a slow street would get you late.
You're driving.
Okay. Okay. With you there. I'm gonna act this out. I'm driving.
Okay. I can't do this and not be facing the microphone.
That's fine.
But okay, so you're driving and I'm in the car with you. To your left, because you're driving.
Oh, watch the road. Holy shit. Okay.
Yeah. You don't need to watch because there's another car right in front of you. You're moving it like a half mile.
So I should stop doing the thing where I'm like shaking the steering wheel that people always do. That's I don't bullshit. Know why. Yeah, okay. So
it was great though when you ever watch the A-Team and like Mr. T's like a whoa. Like, it looks like he'd be swerving all over the road.
If you cut from that to Star Trek when they get hit, it would actually make sense.
Oh, man.
Okay, so one hand on the steering wheel, barely touching the gas. You slap my shoulder and point to the left. There's probably girls there.
Yes.
Okay. Hi.
You're looking for the right car. You're looking. They're looking.
So they're in a car.
Everybody's... Yeah.
Okay.
And the traffic in the other lane is going just as slow the other way.
So it's like an awkward, like, just slowly passing each other? You're, like, making the eyes.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, this was, like, the early version of... What is that match thing that you kids are...
Grindr?
Grindr.
Oh, don't fucking you kid me. I know you swipe right or you swipe left if you're going to get laid. That's literally all I understand about it.
This was, like, the most primitive version of that you can imagine.
Wait, so you... ran your car off the road to get laid? Or?
No, they would just be, you know, there'd be like some eye contact. It was vehicular flirting, okay. I guess would be a good way to put it. All right,
I'm with it.
Yeah. And so you'd be looking, and if the other person looked and saw you, and, you know, you gotta make that eye contact.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe next time around, they're like, oh, that's him again. Hey, and you're like, God, that's, and because I'm probably sitting behind you, so I can have the right view.
Is that how
it works? If I'm sitting next to you, I can sort of see, but if I'm in the backseat.
So if you're with your buddy in the car.
You generally want to be with like a couple guys.
Okay.
If you're going solo.
No, but if it's just two dudes in the car, the other guy's in the back seat?
Go with three guys. And two guys, somebody would be, that would be weird. That would be weird.
This is my driver. Yes, driver. Look at those women. Hello.
But anyway, it's a giant rolling meat market.
This is actually making a lot more sense now. Okay. So, all right, but I'm still not understanding the escalation.
Well, because you're making multiple passes.
Okay, I'm with you.
So next time around, you're like, hey, that's that car. Or, you know, it's easier for me.
You're the lookout, I'm the driver.
The passenger.
I'm not doing this with my hands.
Like, there she is. Like, say something like, hi, or hey, or whatever. What's your best... And if she responds in kind, you'd be like, hey, you want to pull over? And she's like, yeah, meet me in the McDonald's parking lot.
I think you almost fell off the squadman.
I did fall off the squadman.
Because you were neck craning trying to finish that because we suddenly sped up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's this, you know, a certain limited amount of time where you've got to make that commitment to both pull out of the lines.
Okay.
Meet in the parking lot.
Yeah, that's rough.
And then see how it goes.
So, okay. So... Keep taking me through this. So we've snagged a jalopy full of girls.
Yes.
And they are meeting us in the, let's say Delta Sonic.
We didn't have those, but sure.
Well, you must have something weird out there that we don't have here.
No.
Jack in the Box?
I said McDonald's, Mike.
That's all you guys had? I always assumed the Midwest had like franchises we don't have. Okay, McDonald's, fine. Just trying to make it more interesting.
McDonald's, there's lights at McDonald's. They get pissy though if you stay there and don't go in and buy anything. So maybe you like pick another parking lot. I don't know. I can't remember. We didn't have Hess's there. It had to be something that was closed.
All right. So would you say, hey, should we go get some milkshakes?
No. You would just meet. You would just like. I'm sure there was a good couple of designated spots, and you would pull off, meet, and then you would say, all right. Are we getting out of the car or not? That was the next level. Because the cars would pull up and you would like be able to, you know, have some.
Would it be cop car style?
I think it would be cop car style. Yeah.
Okay. So like drivers are right next to each other.
Yeah. If you're interested in the driver.
Oh, shit. So I get to pick.
Well.
That's a lot of power.
Yeah.
Wow, that's like a whole, that's like a mating dance.
It is.
Like, if they pull in first or them, they get to choose you. Wow.
Yeah. Whoa. See, a lot of things have to match up.
Damn.
And so maybe, you know, maybe you were looking at the passenger, but the driver is the one who's who's picked you. Passenger's not interested.
Yeah, but I'm a guy.
Do you get out of the car?
If it's going to get me laid, probably.
All right.
I'm a teen wolf in Indiana.
Yeah.
You ever ride on top of a van?
On top of a van? Like Shatner?
No, like
T.J. Hooker?
Like Teen Wolf.
Oh, that top of... No, like the van surfing.
Yeah.
I think you meant like on the hood, you know? Oh,
yeah. I really want to get this girl's attention. I'm going to jump on her car.
It's like, I don't think she's that interested in you, man.
It's Mike, don't reenact Terminator 2. Don't reenact Terminator 2. Where did you even get the crowbar hands?
I did not. I did not.
Okay.
I made some questionable hookups in my time. But, yeah, it was interesting. I met a few girlfriends that way. A few things didn't go anywhere. A few things got a little serious. And
some hearts got broken.
Yeah.
Yours?
But that was the game, man. A little bit. Yeah.
I have to be honest. We just watched Dazed and Confused recently. So I had an exact idea of what where this was going, but I just wanted to see if your description does more or less.
But yeah, that was cruising. And that was, to me, that was your weekend night.
So something changed, because by the time I was in high school...
Yeah, they enacted laws that prevented you from doing that.
Oh.
You ever, like, drive somewhere, like, in the downtown area?
No.
And see a sign...
I hate going downtown.
Yeah, okay. And see, like, a weird sign that's, like, no right turn after 5 p.m. or something like that?
Yeah, I've seen signs like that.
That's why those signs are in place.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. Okay. So you're just stuck...
And that's what they finally did in the places that I would, there were like a couple of places I would do the cruising.
Right.
And finally the people, the authorities didn't care for it very much.
Sure.
I can't imagine why not. Why a completely backed up main street full of
horny teenagers
could possibly strike
driving
someone
in a carousel meat market,
undesirable situation. But no, they would figure out what the routes were, which is easy to do.
You just watch the kids making eyes at each other.
And they literally would put up signs that would make it illegal to do the route.
So then they could just give you a ticket.
They would give you a ticket. And they would, I mean, obviously they would not hesitate to do that.
They were making eyes at you in a completely different way.
Yeah. And then, cruising, I think it died out by the time I was in college. Which was fine, because I was in college then. I had no need for the cruising.
You had driven past that.
Yes.
So that was the 90s?
Yeah.
Okay.
But in the 80s, it was big. It was really big.
Yeah, I feel like that aligns with what I've heard. But yeah, I mean, we drove around in high school.
But you were going from place to place.
No.
No?
No, I mean, we weren't trying to hook up when you're driving around. But like, yeah, if I was just like, yo, let's listen to this song. I got this new CD. No, you just drove. I mean, I was in Oneonta. There wasn't really a circuit to do.
I grew up in some pretty tiny place.
Right. And then I'm sure Morris was like that, the little tiny town I lived in. But no, we just drove around. But yeah, I mean, if you were going to try to hook up with someone, you were going to a party or like a kegger. Not that I ever went to one in high school, but I heard they happened.
Yeah, I heard that too. I think I went to maybe one.
Was it awkward?
I don't much about it.
Oh, okay. It was so awkward at parties. Or yeah, actually...
I was not into that. That's why cruising was like, it worked for me.
Yeah, the distance. They've done studies and shown you feel extremely safe in your car.
Gary Newman was totally right.
What did he say?
Here in my car, I feel safest of all.
Didn't he also sing Short People Have No Reason to Live?
That's Randy Newman.
Okay.
That's a completely different person.
But a Newman.
Yeah. I think maybe spelled differently.
But a new one.
Yes.
Okay, that's all I wanted to hear. Well, we're at 59 minutes.
Oh, man. Fond memories.
Yeah. We seem to just be digging up...
Random stuff.
Yeah. So I mean, it's fun. I just mean from our past, like the motel stuff last time.
But yeah, cruising over here in my car, where I felt safest of all.
Because
it's the only way to live in cars.
I'm going to have to listen to that song now.
You will.
I will.
Maybe we should make that our going out music.
Okay, now when are we going out again? Let me get a babysitter.
Outro,
mic.
Outro music, Mike. Is that
Let's just get another song that we don't have the rights to. Well, we will be trying to do more podcasts because we're actually maybe going to get distributed and have a legit podcast now.
Maybe.
So Mike doesn't hurt himself and can't leave the house again.
Yeah. I'll phone it in. Literally.
We can't do that now. All right. Well, this has been fun reminiscing with you, Mr. Cruisin. Cruisin, S. Cruisin Smith.
Mr. I want to get married. Carassi.
lame ass Carassi.
Square.
We are buddies in space. Goodbye.
Goodbye and good night.
Good night. In your car. We are safest of all. And you have no reason to live if you're short. Here in my car, I feel safest of all. I